Hallelujah. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
On the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet, they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Absolutely. So, remember when you were growing up and your parents used your full name? Yes, yes, this is an attention-getting device that has been passed down through the ages. Caitlin Nicole Cheslick. Yeah, her heart just started beating. Benjamin Ronald Tuttle. How about Adam Rabbit Tuttle? I said Tuttle Tittle. Adam Robert Tittle? Yes, or Madeline Rose Weisberg. So, and you kind of truncate the name when you're saying them because you're saying them so fast, but the truth is, generation after generation knows that when you hear your full name being used, usually with that certain warning tone, it's time to pull your head out of the book or make your way home from down the street. or take out the garbage, clean your room, do your homework. There's always something, and it doesn't really matter what it is you're supposed to be doing, but you know that you better stop and pay attention. You see, our names have power because they're used to identify us as individuals. Our names are used to call to us in unique ways. And calling by name is important in our Christian tradition. Every time we baptize, we are naming someone. Baptizing them by their name through the Trinity, marking them as God's own by their name through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's what we did this morning with Lincoln Webb King. We, as a Christian community, named him as he was baptized into the Christian community as a whole, not just us gathered here, but us worldwide. This pay attention, calling us by name, is, you see, what Jesus does again and again throughout Jesus' ministry. He emphasizes the importance of name, especially in the gospel that we hear today, the Gospel of John. Many of us in Sunday school heard the Great Shepherd Discourse, which you know because it's when Jesus talks about being a shepherd, and Jesus knows the name of his sheep. Or also in the Gospel of John, we have the raising of Lazarus, and Lazarus is dead, and Jesus says, "Lazarus, come out." And by his name, he, Lazarus, is raised and comes to life. Now, being called by name is one thing, but what being called by name means is what Jesus demonstrates in his resurrection. You see, Jesus knowing our name is all good and well, but that's not the end goal. And yet Mary, if we look at Mary, Mary points the way of where we are supposed to go. We find Mary this morning in our gospel up, and she goes to the tomb, and she's crying, she's bereft. You see, her beloved Jesus has died. She knows she will never see him again. Never hear his voice again. Never learn from him again. Never again to break bread with him or feel his touch. She's truly feeling all of the normal things that one feels in the raw early stages of grief, where you just can't see life very clearly. And yet when Mary arrives at the tomb, she finds the stone rolled away and Jesus not there. Mary doesn't have a moment of belief of anything at this point other than Jesus' body is gone, and she is alarmed and doesn't understand what has happened. And so she runs and she tells Simon Peter and the beloved disciple what has happened. And the two of them race to the tomb. Peter goes in, sees the folded linens, walks back out. The beloved disciple goes in, sees the linens and believes. But then the two of them return home. And Mary has also come back to the tomb. And while they walk away, she remains weeping. And through her tears of grief, she looks into the tomb. I often wonder, was she hoping that maybe his body would be where it was supposed to be, that life would be what she expected it to? And instead, Mary sees two angels. Two angels. And Mary still doesn't get what's happening. And she turns around, and Jesus is standing there. And Jesus says to her, Mary, or he doesn't say that. He says, why are you weeping? And whom do you look for? And even then, she is so wrapped up in her loss, Mary still doesn't get it. And she thinks that Jesus is just a gardener. And she begs him, do you know where his body is? Can you take me to it? And then Jesus does what Jesus does best. And he calls out Mary's name, I imagine with the same tone and urgency and fervor our parents did when they wanted to get our attention. Only it's Jesus, so he doesn't have to use all three names. He just uses the first one. Mary! Mary! And in that instant, Mary knows. Mary understands that it is Jesus. By calling her name, Mary knows that Jesus has been resurrected from the dead. In calling her name, Mary is the first truly to understand in that physical form that light has cast out darkness, that life has conquered death, and that there is truly good news in ways that she never could have imagined. But I think it's important to note that once Jesus calls Mary's name, he doesn't say, well, all right, good, I'm back. Let's get back to work. Got any demons I can cast out? Or he doesn't say, hey, isn't that a cool party trick? Resurrection, woo, let's go have some dinner. No, instead, resurrected Jesus who has conquered death, commissions Mary. You see, Jesus calls her by name and then commissions her to go and tell others that he, Jesus, is risen from the dead. And the truth is, Jesus has continued to call to us down through today. Jesus calls each and every one of our individual names, just as he did to Mary. And trust me, when Jesus calls us, it's not just to revel in the joy and the beauty of today, although that is noble, but rather, Jesus calls us to be active participants in our faith. Jesus calls us urgently and with fervor. It's important that we continue to participate in our faith. And if you think about it, our parents, God willing, did not baptize us as infants so we could wear a pretty gown and they could host a brunch. Our parents baptized us, or we chose to be baptized as older people, so that we would be raised in a community that knows our name. Our parents baptized us so that we would live our lives knowing the baptismal covenant and order our lives in that manner. Our parents baptized us so that our faith wouldn't be empty, but would have meaning, not a certificate or a photo on the mantle that gathers dust, but something that's live and active and growing. You see, our baptism names us. And the second that we are named, just like Mary, we are called. And Jesus calls to us in his resurrection, just as Jesus called to Mary. Now, I'll admit, from my own experience, there may be times when we don't hear our name, or for that matter, we don't see Jesus before us. There may be times when we actually yearn for Jesus to call out to us as our parents once did. But if we listen, if we gather for Eucharist, if we read our scripture, if we pray, you will hear your name being called. And when you do, it is calling to you to go and tell, just as Mary did. Now you may ask, how do we go and tell in our day and age? Because honestly, if we walked out of here and went up to Vons and went, "Hallelujah, he's risen," I'm not quite sure who's gonna believe you at that. But, if we go back to that Sunday school song that we all learned, they will know we are Christians by our love. Yeah. We go and tell by sharing the love of Jesus. We go and tell by talking to the stranger, by showing mercy to those in prison and to those living on the streets and to those struggling with addiction. We go and tell by how we treat people whose politics are different than ours with dignity and respect. We go and tell by unconditionally loving the family member who won't speak to us. We go and we tell through where we spend our money and our time. We go and we tell of the love of Jesus each and every time we treat our neighbor as ourselves, whether they deserve it or not. Our parents called out to us, coming from a place of their love and their concern for our well-being. And Jesus calls to us for the same reason, out of God's love for each and every one of us. And in that call, Jesus commissions us to go and tell the good news. So I need your help here for a moment, because we'd be here till Christmas if I had to do this individually, so I need your help. On the count of three, I want you to say your full name just as your parents did, and I want you to say it loud and proud. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Rachel Ann Nybeck, go and tell. Alleluia. Alleluia. Amen.